a little bit with some different voices. So this morning I'm one of those voices, and I'm going to talk about Mary Magdalene. What comes to mind when I say the name Mary Magdalene? And you can feel free to yell things out here, but keep it PG. Anybody?
Prostitute.
Anything else?
Not true. Mary says it's not true.
All right. Don't preach my sermon for me. All right. Yeah, we don't necessarily know a whole lot about her. She has been called at various times a reformed sinner, which aren't we all, possibly the woman who anointed Jesus. But the truth is, Mary Magdalene was a vital part of Jesus' ministry and has even been referred to as the apostle to the apostles. And yet we know so little about her. As I said about learning about Mary Magdalene in preparation for this morning, I realized that most of what I thought I knew was completely wrong. What does the Bible actually tell us about Mary Magdalene? How and why did her story become altered almost beyond recognition? And how do we as brothers and sisters in Christ impact a world where women are often silenced? We're going to explore that together this morning. Luke 8, 1 through 3 gives us the only account of Mary Magdalene that isn't part of the crucifixion or resurrection stories. Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. What are some of the key things the text tells us here? Well, she traveled with Jesus along with the 12, and there were other women with the group. When I think about the group that traveled around with Jesus, in my mind, I picture it being all men. But this text tells us that there were women. She was Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. The text tells us the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, but then specifies that 7 demons had come out of Mary. While we don't know the detail there, it is apparent that Jesus healed her. In these times, mental illness was often viewed as a demon, so it's possible that mental illness was part of her story. She helped to support the Jesus ministry out of her own means. We don't know whether Mary Magdalene was wealthy, but she had enough to finance Jesus' ministry along with the other women. And finally, she wasn't identified by a male relative. Mary was a pretty common name for Jewish women at this time, so often they were further identified by their most significant male relative, usually their husband, father, or their sons. But Mary Magdalene isn't identified with a male relative. It could be that Magdalene means she is from Magdala, which is an Aramaic word meaning tower. There were a few towns with Magdala as part of their names, but the text doesn't really tell us this. Did she have a husband or sons? We don't know. The fact that she wasn't identified with a male relative tells us that she may have been single. The rest of what we know about Mary Magdalene, we know from accounts of the crucifixion and resurrection stories. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all share similar accounts with regards to Mary Magdalene, with a few smaller details differing. Here is the gist of what these texts tell us about her story. Mary Magdalene was part of a group of women who had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. She watched Jesus' crucifixion from a distance. She sat opposite the tomb during burial. She saw where he was laid. After the Sabbath, Mary Magdalene and a couple of other women carried spices to anoint Jesus' body. As they walked along, they worried about the large stone at the entrance of the tomb. Who would roll it away for them? But when they arrived at the tomb, the stone was already rolled away. They met a man in a white robe. In Matthew, he's named to be an angel. And when they saw the body was not there, the man told them that Jesus had risen. He told the women to go tell the disciples and Peter that Jesus was going ahead of them into Galilee. In Mark, we get a little more detail. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. A key thing that jumps out at me is that Mary Magdalene was present at all the moments that are critical to the gospel story. When Jesus was crucified, when he was buried, she discovered his missing body. She learned that he had risen and was told to share that news with the other disciples. There is no other person whose name is linked with all four of those things. The Gospel of John tells us more about the story when Mary discovered that Jesus' body was gone. This is John 20, 11 through 14, and then moving on to 15 through 18. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, one at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. As I studied what the Bible actually says about Mary Magdalene, something began to bother me. Something that I thought was true, but I couldn't find anywhere in the text. Anyone else notice anything missing? The text never says that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. So why did I think that was true? Where did that come from, other than my love of musicals and Jesus Christ Superstar? Somewhere in history, Mary Magdalene's story changed. Or as author Heidi Schlumpf asks in her article, "Who Framed Mary Magdalene?" So how did Mary of Magdala become a prostitute some several hundred years after her death? As Heidi shares, although the decline of Mary of Magdala's reputation as apostle and leader most likely began shortly after her death. The transformation to penitent prostitute was sealed on September 14th, 591, when Pope Gregory the Great gave a homily in Rome that pronounced that Mary Magdalene, Luke's unnamed sinner, and Mary of Bethany were indeed the same person. Quote, "She whom Luke calls the sinful woman, whom John calls Mary, we believe to be the Mary from whom seven devils were ejected, according to Mark," Gregory said in his 23rd homily. And what did these seven devils signify, if not all the vices? It is clear, brothers, that the woman previously used the unguent to perfume her flesh in forbidden acts. Wow. In that one sermon, he took three women, turned them into the same woman, and declared Mary Magdalene a penitent prostitute. And the message caught on until 1969, when the Catholic Church corrected this mistake. By then, nearly 1,400 years of damage had already been done to Mary's reputation. Recently, I've been reading Rachel Held Evans's A Year of Biblical Womanhood, and I found her reflections on this mistake to be profound. She shares, "A cynic might suggest that this mistake and its subsequent popularity represent a deliberate attempt to typecast and discredit a woman whose role in the gospel story is so critical and so revolutionary that the Eastern Orthodox Church refers to Mary Magdalene as equal to the apostles. Far from being easily deceived, women were the first to make the connection between Christ's teachings from Scripture and his resurrection, and the first to believe these teachings when they mattered the most. For her valor in twice sharing the good news to the skeptical male disciples, the early church honored Mary Magdalene with the title of Apostle to the Apostles. That Christ ushered in this new era of life and liberation in the presence of women, and that he sent them out as the first witnesses of the complete gospel story, is perhaps the boldest, most overt affirmation of their equality in his kingdom that Jesus ever delivered." And yet, Rachel continues, "too many Easter services begin with a man standing before a congregation of Christians and shouting, 'He is risen,' to a chorused response of 'He is risen indeed.' Were we to honor the symbolic details of the text, that distinction would always belong to a woman." Honestly, much of what I discovered about Mary Magdalene made me angry. Angry at what I thought I knew, but had gotten so wrong. Angry at what this pope from long ago had done to Mary's story. And angry at how women today continue to have their reputations trashed when they share something people aren't ready to hear. On October 15th of 2017, actress Alyssa Milano went on Twitter and encouraged people to spread the MeToo hashtag to draw awareness to sexual assault and harassment. According to Wikipedia, the MeToo hashtag was shared on Twitter 200,000 times by the end of the day. On Facebook, the hashtag was shared by 4.7 million people in 12 million posts in the first 24 hours. The church isn't immune. Willow Creek Community Church has been working through the fallout of years of sexual harassment by their senior pastor. The women who experienced this mistreatment went public because when they brought this information to the church elders, they were dismissed as liars, and their reputations were dragged through the mud. How can we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, impact a world where this is normal The reality is that we can't control the story the world tells about us. But the Lord still calls us to be faithful. And the Gospels are full of stories of how Jesus sought out the people being silenced and dismissed. Those were the people for whom he had a special message and a special calling. And when we show up and hold on to faith in Jesus Christ, even when we are dismissed by the rest of the world, Jesus himself tells our story by moving in our hearts, refining our faith, and giving us words of hope and redemption. We live by continuing to speak the truth, no matter how hard. We live by listening to stories that are hard to hear and offering empathy instead of judgment. We live by showing up and wrestling with unimaginable pain with faith that Jesus will meet us there. When the disciples fled in fear, Mary Magdalene stayed. She watched Jesus die. She saw where he was buried, and she discovered his missing body. And Jesus met her there. Mary Magdalene stayed and was given the sweet, powerful message of a risen Savior from the Savior himself. The way the world later twisted her story doesn't change who she was or her importance to Jesus' ministry and the spread of Christianity. The real story is there in the words of Scripture for those who would find it. What a remarkable story. Let's pray together. Lord, we come before you this morning, each with our own story of struggle and faith. We invite you to walk with us into the hard places, and we ask you to elevate the voices that need to be heard with a message of truth. Amen. This morning, as we prepare to celebrate communion together, listen to this prayer. God, companion of the lonely, binder of wounds,